Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This show follows the career of Roman Polanski, the illustrious Polish film director whose life and work tell a very unique story. I hope you enjoy the show. One of the most highly regarded living directors, Roman Polanski has experienced a remarkable life. He survived Nazi-occupied Poland as a child, found international success in Europe, then Hollywood, lost his wife tragically, avoided imprisonment in America for a sex crime, and now lives and works in Europe. He's had a profound influence on the style of Western cinema. Born Raymond Thierry Liebling in Paris in 1933, his father was a Jewish painter and sculptor from Poland, and his mother was from Russia. His parents, him and a half-sister, Annette, moved from Paris to Krakow in 1937, just in time for the start of World War II. His mother and Annette were sent to Auschwitz, and his father was sent to another camp. He had only been at school for a few weeks when the deportation of Jews to the death camps began. He witnessed his father's removal, I quote. "I had just been visiting my grandmother. At first I didn't know what was happening. I simply saw people scattering in all directions. Instead of running away like the rest, I felt compelled to watch. Some women were being herded along by German soldiers. An older woman couldn't keep up. She fell down on all fours. Suddenly a pistol appeared in a German officer's hand. There was a loud bang, and blood came welling out of her back. I ran straight into the nearest building and didn't come out for hours." He survived in Krakow living as a Roman Catholic with family friends until 1943, when, aged 10, he escaped and roamed the Polish countryside, dodging capture by Nazi troops. His father survived the war and they moved back to Krakow together. His fascination with film had started when he was just 4 or 5, and it continued to grow after the war ended. These early childhood traumas and fears have constantly fueled the Polanski atmosphere he generates on the screen. He attended the National Film School in Lodz and became an actor, appearing in Andrzej Wajda's A Generation in 1954. He began making his own short films in 1955 and graduated in 1959. A Knife in the Water was his first feature in 1962. It was scripted by Jerzy Skolimowski together with Polanski and was one of the first post-war Polish films not to feature the war. An affluent couple pick up a drifter and invite him onto their yacht, where tensions rise. It was nominated for the Best Foreign Picture Oscar, so Polanski immediately made his mark.
Thank you.
Polanski moved to Paris from communist Poland, sensing his time had come, but felt xenophobia there and went to England. His second film was shot in London, Repulsion, starring Catherine Deneuve, playing a woman repulsed by sex who sinks into depression amid visions of rape and violence. It's clearly influenced by the early surrealist cinema of Dali, Buñuel and Cocteau, together with Psycho and Diabolique. His casting was impeccable, as Deneuve had just been in The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, a major box office hit. Repulsion's critical reception further enhanced his career as an emerging talent. The following year, 1966, he made Cul-de-sac, a black comedy borrowing from Samuel Beckett and Harold Pinter, in which two criminals take refuge at a remote castle by the sea. It was again shot in England, at Holy Island in Northumbria. It starred François Dauriac, Catherine Deneuve's sister and also an actress, Donald Pleasance, Lionel Stander and Jacqueline Bisset. It got mixed reviews, but is a captivating film. Thank you. Polanski made a third film in the UK in 1967, The Fearless Vampire Killers, originally called Dance of the Vampires, which was a parody of vampire movies. Jill St. John pulled out shortly before filming began, and Sharon Tate replaced her. The film's exteriors were shot in Switzerland, and it was Polanski's first film in colour, and he took to it extremely well. It's a trifle clumsy, but has the charm of a fairy tale. Polanski married Sharon Tate in London in 1968, and they headed for America. Once in Hollywood, Robert Evans of Paramount asked if he would direct a movie from Ira Levin's novel Rosemary's Baby. Polanski read the book overnight and said he wanted to write the screenplay too. The film was a box office success and established him as a major commercial director. It starred Mia Farrow as the young wife of John Cassavetes, a struggling actor in New York. She becomes pregnant and begins to fear for her baby. It was a groundbreaking horror movie, as everything happens in a seemingly normal world and was totally believable, making it all the more horrific. It was produced by William Castle, who had himself directed many low-budget horror movies earlier. The casting was superb, although the parts of Rosemary and Guy were offered to many actors before Farrow and Cassavetes. Farrow was married to Frank Sinatra at the time and was served with the divorce papers while shooting the movie. Polanski garnered his second Oscar nomination for his script for Rosemary's Baby. The following year, whilst he was working in London, his wife Sharon Tate and four friends were murdered in their house in Los Angeles by members of the Charles Manson Collective. Tate was over 8 months pregnant. The press's sensationalist handling of the incident served to make Polanski very cynical, and a pessimism crept into his life and work. His first film after the incident was a version of Macbeth and was produced by Hugh Hefner and Playboy. In 1972 came What?, an absurd adventure some have likened to Alice in Wonderland, starring Sidney Rome as a travelling American hippie girl who stumbles into an eccentric family occupying a secluded villa on the coast of Italy. Marcello Mastroianni excels as a retired pimp, and Polanski appears in a small role too. It's been dismissed critically, but has great charm and humour, and of course, it bears the hallmarks of Polanski's eye and talent throughout. After What, Polanski returned to Hollywood and began work on Chinatown. He'd already met Jack Nicholson when casting Rosemary's Baby and had decided then to use him in a picture. It was a mystery crime movie based around the water wars that had dogged Los Angeles in the 1920s and got no less than 11 Oscar nominations, including Best Script, which it won. Faye Dunaway and John Huston co-starred with Nicholson, and Huston was impressed with Polanski as a director, which was praise indeed from one of the greats. Riding high on Chinatown's success, Polanski went back to Paris to make his next picture, The Tenant, about an immigrant worker, played by Polanski, who moves into a Paris apartment and is dogged by his neighbours and the history of the apartment. I've seen the film described as the anatomy of insanity, which is an accurate observation. Isabella Gianni and Shelley Winters co-star. In 1977, Polanski was arrested on suspicion of raping a 13-year-old girl at Jack Nicholson's home in Los Angeles. After a plea bargain, he accepted one of six charges and was held in prison for 42 days. Upon release, he learnt that the judge was to disregard the plea bargain and intended to send him to jail for 50 years, so he left America in early 78 and went to live in France. As he was a French citizen, he could not be extradited, and the charges are still pending 43 years later. His next film was Tess, based on the Thomas Hardy book, Tess of the D'Urbervilles, a book Sharon Tate had introduced him to. Nastasia Kinski, Klaus Kinski's 17-year-old daughter, played the lead and was painstakingly groomed for the part by Polanski for 2 years beforehand. It was set in Dorset in the UK, but was filmed in France, as Polanski could have been extradited from the UK. It was nominated for 6 Oscars and won 3. Some think the film is overlong at 3 hours 6 minutes, but the lavish photography compensates for this.
Thank you.
There would be a gap of 7 years before his next movie in 1986, a light adventure comedy starring Walter Matthau called Pirates. It cost $30 million and took less than $1 million. Considering the recent successes of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, we have to conclude that Polanski was ahead of his time. Frantic followed in 1988, starring Harrison Ford as an American doctor in Paris whose wife disappears from their hotel room. It's regarded as Polanski's most Hitchcockian film and spawned the Taken series of films, which have been extremely successful since.
Sa chambre, Joël et sa valise, on regarde sur ses fringues, sur les murs des photos, sans regret, sans mélodie. La porte est claquée, Joël est barré.
Emmanuel Seigner also stars, and Polanski was to marry her after the film was completed, and she has appeared in many of his subsequent films. Bitter Moon followed in 1992 with Hugh Grant, Peter Coyote and Kristen Scott Thomas. Then in 1994, Death and the Maiden with Ben Kingsley and Sigourney Weaver. And then in 1999, The Ninth Gate with Johnny Depp. But none of them captured the attention of the critics and public.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, a fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, a fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever, that is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing, fever started long ago. Romeo loved Juliet, Juliet she felt the same. When he put his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now give us fever. When we kiss us, fever with thy flaming youth. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yea, I burn forsooth. Captain Smith and Pocahontas had a very mad affair. When her daddy tried to kill him, she said, Daddy, oh, don't you dare. Give me fever. With his kisses, fever. When he holds me tight, fever. I'm his missus. Daddy, won't you treat him right. Now you've listened to my story. Here's the point that I have made. Chicks were born to give you fever, be it Fahrenheit or centigrade. They give you fever. When you kiss them, fever. If you live, you learn. Fever till you sizzle. Oh, what a lovely way to burn.
Polanski was back, though, with The Pianist in 2002, starring Adrian Brody as a Jewish musician in the Polish ghetto of World War II. It mirrored Polanski's early life experiences and was bound to hold personal emotional ties for him, and it remains the favourite film he's made. It was nominated for 7 Oscars and won 3, including Best Director, which he won at the age of 69.
Thank you.
Apparently, Steven Spielberg had asked Polanski to direct Schindler's List in 1993, but he had refused the offer. Oliver Twist followed in 2005, due partly to the fact that Polanski likened his own childhood to that of the scamp Twist. In 2010, he made The Ghost Writer, starring Ewan McGregor and Pierce Brosnan. It had an interesting premise. A ghostwriter is brought in to help finish off the autobiography of an ex-UK Prime Minister after the original ghost has committed suicide. It's obviously modelled on Tony Blair, and Brosnan as the Blair character is especially good, and this is the best work he's done since quitting the Bond role. McGregor said Polanski was the most gifted director he'd ever worked with. Whilst the film was in post-production, Polanski was arrested in Switzerland and held pending extradition to America. He was jailed in Zurich for 2 months, then placed under house arrest whilst the court made its decision. In the end, the extradition request was rejected and he was released a free man. Another close escape. Carnage, a comedy about adults behaving childishly, came in 2011 with an impressive cast. Venus in Fur he made in Paris in 2013, and it was his first non-English film in 51 years. Based on a true story in 2017 was about a fan's obsessive involvement with a writer, and his latest work, J'accuse, released in 2019, deals with the Dreyfus affair and opened to rave reviews. Roman Polanski remains an enigma. He's a director that has played with fire ever since he began and seems to have been instrumental in creating a few new film genres along the way. He's never made a bad movie, in my opinion, and they all display a characteristic style which is his alone. Apparently, he adapted Bulgakov's classic novel The Master and Margarita for a film and thinks the script was the best he's ever written. The mind boggles how that may have turned out if it was ever made. He remains a controversial figure. I'll leave you with some words from Polanski himself. I quote, "It's getting more and more difficult to make an ambitious and original film. Corporations are only interested in the lowest common denominator because they're trying to reach the widest audience. That's the danger. They look more alike, those films. The style is all melting and it all looks the same." And finally, I quote, "I can only say that whatever my life and work have been, I'm not envious of anyone, and this is my biggest satisfaction."